For all your Disney Vacation Club needs, be it buying, selling, or renting points for your next vacation, check out our sponsor over at dvcshop.com. Now on with the show.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Monorail Tales. With me tonight is my favorite co-host, sorry, Bill, my favorite co-host, Rick. How are you doing tonight, Rick?
I'm fine. How are you?
As in your words, peachy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Darn Skippy, I'm the favorite.
Yeah. The other thing I should let our listeners know is that we might have someone stalking us in the background on this episode. He has promised to be quiet. It's Steve, my husband. He's got nothing better to do, according to him. So he said he would really love to come and sit in on this episode. So if you hear any weird noises, it's him, not me.
Or me.
Or you, right. Just we have to put those disclaimers in, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I bet you're wondering what tonight's show is about, Rick.
Well, yes, I am.
Yeah, well.
I'll just show up and look pretty.
Yeah, that's why we only do audio. One of my favorite groups that I check out on Facebook, and I have talked about this group before, is called Ear for Each Other. This got started by a group of cast members when Disney had to close its gates due to COVID, and cast members were let go. The group was established to help those cast members now out of a job to share their talents with the Facebook community, from artwork, photography, baking, etc. The list was endless on what these cast members could now turn their hands to help keep food on their table, by selling their creations or services to the Facebook community. And Rick, this is where I came across our special guest for tonight. He has worked over 26 years at the Walt Disney World, most of that time in the resorts, ranging from the value resorts right up to the deluxe Disney Vacation Club accommodations. He took this experience and his knowledge from working closely with resort guests and what they need, what they want, and started his own business. And tonight, we're going to hear his story. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce Mr. Scott Connors, proprietor of Magical Vacation Grocers. So welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me tonight.
Yeah, I'm just so happy. I mean, I sent you the email and, you know, who wants to be on a podcast, really? I mean, seriously. And I always have that feeling, you know, I'm going to get denied this
guest. I ask myself that every day.
Right, Rick. But no, sorry.
It's kind of fun. Like, you know, this is, I listen to podcasts all the time. Like I have like, I don't know, maybe 40 that I subscribe to. I mean, I don't listen to everyone every week, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's something. So it's kind of really cool to be like on the other side, you know, to be part of one. So that's really cool. I was really excited to get the invitation. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, I always get excited when we have interviews because everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has a Disney side. And, you know, this is a Disney-based podcast. And it's just great, you know, we make friends along the way. So, you know, Scott, you're part of our family now, because you've been brave enough to come on. So you're stuck
with
us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think, Rick, I think you might want to start us off on this, and we'll go from there.
Is that in my contract? I didn't know I was going first.
Don't bring up contracts with me. All right, all yours, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
Yes?
Where are you from? Have you always lived in Florida? Well, let me say, I assume you're in Florida now since you're doing the delivery service. Okay. I would think you have to be local, but have you always lived in Florida?
No, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I grew up there. I was there until I came down on college program. And then when I moved down on college program, I spent 6 months here and I loved it. I loved being at Disney World. I loved the area. So I went back and finished school and then I came back. And that's where I started in the resorts is when I came back. But yeah, I'm originally from Pittsburgh. So a lot of Disney fans know Cedar Point. So Cedar Point in Ohio is where we used to go all the time every summer. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started my love of Disney. I mean, it's not Disney, but it's kind of Disney-like, you know, it's the theme park, the amusement park, really. But then when I came down here, I just loved being around Disney World. And that's why I stayed. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm originally from Pittsburgh and I moved down here. I think I was like 20-ish, maybe 19. No, 20. I think I was I was 20 when I first moved down.
Cool. Cedar Point could almost be my local park.
Oh, really?
Kings Island's a little bit closer, about an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was at Kings Island, too. I've been to Kings Island, too, but Cedar Point was closer for us.
Yeah. So
that's where we all went.
It's a three-hour drive to Kings Island for me, five to Cedar Point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we don't have anything closer, so.
Yeah.
All right. So you said that you did the college program.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were you a Disney fan before that?
Oh, yeah. I've been a Disney fan we have home videos of me when I'm like one here with my family, and my mom and dad used to bring me and my sister all, not every year, but a lot. We used to come down a lot. And my grandparents actually were snowboard birds, and they were in South Florida, like around the Fort Lauderdale area, not really in Fort Lauderdale, but around that area. And so they used to, like, we used to come down to Orlando and then they used to come up from Fort Lauderdale. And we used to meet in the middle every once in a while and all go to Disney together. So, yeah, I mean, I've been a Disney fan for a long time. Like, even, you know, I actually when I was in school, or right after school, when I was in college, I worked at the Disney store. So I even got to work for Disney in Pittsburgh, which was really cool. But, yeah, I've always been a Disney fan.
Cool. I always wanted to work at the Disney store here, but it never was in the cards.
Yeah, I actually, like, working at the Disney store was just, it was one of the best Disney experiences. Even though I liked working here because you're, you know, of course, right near the parks. Like, the Disney store, everybody there was, like, very, like, big Disney fans. You know, like, everybody's into Disney and everybody goes sees the movies. And whereas Disney World, for a lot of people at Disney World, this is a job. Not really. They're not really into the culture. I mean, they're into the culture of working there, but not really of, like, you know, being a big Disney fan. But, like, at the Disney store, everybody is. And it was just, that was one of my best experiences. I worked in one. I started in one and then I opened a second one that was closer to my house. And yeah, it was really neat. Working at the Disney store was cool. And it's so sad that they're not all closing. It's awful. I pull up my Facebook and I see all these people. Oh, our store closed. Oh, our store closed. You know, it's so sad.
Yeah, ours closed right before COVID. And
yeah,
we were just at the mall on Saturday. And it just makes me so sad to walk by.
It is sad, yeah.
Because, you know, of course, they took all the Disney out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just knowing that it was there and, you know, they had their entryway was really unique. It was curved. It's still a Pokestop. So, you know, if you play Pokemon Go and you're at our mall, it's, you know, Sorcerer Mickey, you know, pops up. It's like, ah, it's so sad. My kids always make fun of me. You're like, hey, you missed that sword, Dad.
Do you know one of the reasons why Steve and I go to the Disney stores around us? And we've got two that's closing. The one, the outlet mall that I think you've been to, Rick, up in Concord, and one up in Charlotte that's closing. One of the things for us was just going to see the cast members. That was the magic. Even if you didn't buy anything, it was just seeing cast members.
Yeah,
and that's gone. It will be gone. You know, it is sad.
They are pretty really great.
I do have a quick question. Let's go back to when you were a kid and you used to go to Disney with your family. Did you most times stay on property or was it off property?
No. It was always off property. I don't think I stayed on property until I moved here.
Okay.
We came, my parents came down one time and we all stayed at, I know, it was because I worked at Coronado Springs. And in those days, when you first started a resort, they would give you a room, a free room night. And so I had passed my like probationary period and I was part-time then. And because I had first started as a regular cast member versus the college program. And they had given me a free night at Coronado. So when my mom and dad and sister came down, we all stayed in Coronado Springs. And I think that was the first time we stayed on property. No, we always stayed. We stayed at like, you know, like a Days Inn and that kind of stuff when we came down. We never stayed. But in those days, you know, it was really only the Polynesian, the Contemporary and the Disney Inn. You know, we didn't have all these resorts, you know. And of course, there was no DVC, you know, Disney Vacation Club. So, yeah.
It must have been amazing as a kid. Going all those years, seeing all the changes and we need to have you back on, Scott, just to talk about the changes that you saw growing up with Disney, actually.
Well, even the changes since I worked here, you know, like I started in the 25th anniversary and, you know, it's so funny. We'll walk around the park and, you know, and even my boys now, like they'll be like, oh, we want to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You know, it wasn't that long ago that there wasn't a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Or, you know, I mean, I was at the cast preview for, like, the Tower of Terror was here, but the Rock and Roll Coaster wasn't. And that was the only thing on Sunset Boulevard. Like, you walk down the street of Sunset Boulevard, and none of the shops, none of the food places, like, they weren't open yet. It was literally, you just walk down the street, and the Tower of Terror was at the end, and that was the only thing there, you know? So it is amazing how things have changed over the years. You know, everywhere, it's really crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal: if you survive this podcast to the end, I'd love to have you back on just to hear it from someone who grew up year after year with Disney. So I'm sorry, Rick. I went off the rail here.
You tend to do that.
Always.
I have one more question before I let Sheila take it back over again. What did you do in the college program?
I was actually worked at Space Mountain as a attractions host. That was pretty cool because, I mean, it was Space Mountain and it was the Magic Kingdom, so that was pretty awesome. But then also, I got to learn how a roller coaster worked. And because I was a huge fan of Cedar Point, you know, it was kind of neat to see how, like, what, you know, how everything worked in the, you know, in the back and mechanically and how you bring up the ride and, you know, how you, when it breaks down, how you have to go through and bring it all back up. And it was really interesting. I really liked it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, my little stalker in the background just sent me a note. He wants to know what school you were at.
I was at a school called La Roche, and I went through there. And then, I was at my local community college, and at that time they let you go through there. And then when I came back, I went to La Roche. But it was through the community college. And so I was in my second year, I think, when I came down. So it was spring of 1996.
Okay.
My college program.
So you go through the college program. How do you transition from being a college program cast member to becoming a regular full-time cast member?
Well, I went back from here. When you're on college program, like, it's like a beginning date and an end date, and you can extend. Well, now you can extend. Back then, you couldn't extend. It wasn't like that. Now it is now, or I don't even know how it's going to come back, how it will come back. But before COVID and now that, they could extend to the summer and they could keep extending. But it back in those days, like, if it ended, then you went home and you could apply to come back on another one. Well, I decided to just go home back to school. And since I was working at the Disney store, I kind of just went back to being a part-time cast member at the Disney store. And then when I decided to move down, it was because I was already working at the Disney store, it was just a transfer. So I think I was at the Disney store for like 3 years. And then I came down on almost 3 years, maybe. And I came down on a college program. And when I came back, it was just a transfer. And so I was part-time there and I became part-time here. And so they put me in part-time as a front desk host, and I worked at Coronado Springs. I didn't open the resort technically, but I was there like the second day they were open. It was my first day back with this company. It was a transfer. So I didn't really have to quit and rehired. I just was able to move everything. They moved everything for me.
Okay. Usually when I do an interview, I usually go in order, but I feel for some reason I want to jump ahead a little bit to what you're actually doing now, not to get into the nitty gritty. We'll go back to that bit, but I want to just introduce to our listeners at this point what your business is about, and then just go back to your work at working at the resorts, because then there is a correlation, I think, between the two. So if it's all right with you, can we just jump ahead? Can you just tell us a little bit about your business?
Sure. My business is called Magical Vacation Grocers, and I do grocery delivery to the resorts. And there's three ways that a guest can get their groceries. I have all-inclusive packages. So, like, I have, like, breakfast packages and lunch packages and park snack packages. And so it's kind of like a one-stop shop option, whereas you click it and everything on the list you get, and it's very easy. The second option, the second way to order groceries is I have lists of individual items. So if you want to build your list, I have, like, a little over 100 items right now on the website, and it's growing all the time. Milk, eggs, snacks, chips, candy, all kinds of stuff that it's really geared. My business is geared more towards people on vacation. So it's stuff that people would use they would need on vacation or in the rooms. And then the third option is, and this is usually for guests with, like, very specific, like, usually dietary needs, is you can create your own list, and then I will price it out, send it to you, and then I send you an invoice, and we go from there. But then I also do gift baskets. Mostly they kind of started from travel agents, so it's a lot of travel agent gifts, whereas a travel agent want to thank their clients for booking with them. They can order a little gift, and I deliver it to them to the resort. So that's all my business.
Well, before I pass this back to Rick, because I know Rick, there's a good chance Rick's going to have quite a few questions for you on the delivery aspect of it, because he is just actually has become a DVC owner. And yay! And, you know, going through that experience. So I know he's probably going to have more of those questions. I just want to once again just tie it back to what we were talking about, you working at Disney. Were you one of the ones laid off when Disney had to close the gates?
Yes, I was furloughed. And then I was furloughed until, like, I think March 15th, I want to say something, all the way until June when the DVC resorts reopened. And since I was working at Boardwalk, I was, there were two leaders that were kept to kind of keep things going at the resort, or just basically, you know, making sure the resort didn't fall down. And then I was the third person that was brought back in June. So we got the resort ready and opened up the resort for the guests. And then there were three leaders in housekeeping at the boardwalk to make sure everything was running correctly. So, and then, so I worked June, July, August, September. And then in October, they started laying people off. And yeah. I was one of the people that was selected to be laid off. And then, so that officially happened in December. And then, so from October to December, I wasn't allowed to do anything because of the severance. I wasn't really allowed to do anything until after December. So I worked the whole time on like getting the idea, building the website and, you know, getting ready for launch. And then in December is when I start, December 10th is when I launched the website and the service. And that's when I kind of hit the ground running.
Now, the correlation between you working in the resorts and doing this business was tied up because of you knowing what people that were staying at the resorts needed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was housekeeping managers, so I saw people coming in, I saw people coming out, and, you know, my wife and I have been, and what they bring, and my wife and I have been DVC members for like 12 years right now, by now. And so I actually, for years, for a long time, I've actually thought, boy, wouldn't it be cool if somebody offered like grocery delivery, but it, and this was even before, I think I looked, when I started my website, I looked at my Facebook and I had actually like kind of been playing with something, like thinking, oh, this might be a cool thing to do like in the future. And it was in 2006 that I kind of started thinking about this. But I thought, wouldn't it be great if somebody could deliver packages for, you know, groceries, and, you know, you'd have it here and they could, you know, it could be a pre-selected list so you didn't have to worry about it. Because I'm thinking, you know, every time we come, we have to lug all this stuff here and lug all this stuff home. And I mean, it's different with us because we're local, you know, we just drive there, you know, and if we forget something, it's no big deal. We just drive home and grab it. But then you have to bring it all home too, you know, because you don't want to, you know, we're local, so we don't want to leave it all there, you know. So, but yeah, so it really came from seeing what the guests bring and helping them bring the stuff in. And, you know, because I was a housekeeping manager, so I saw them coming in and out, and I, you know, of course, would always assist as much as I could. And then I thought, and then also from personally bringing all that stuff here and home, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, somebody could do this for me. And then when I was laid off, I thought, great, great service to start. And so that's how it started.
All right. First of all, I want to say I'm really impressed with your website. I was checking it out when you, Sheila, set up the interview. And it's very easy to navigate. You know, when we first started talking about it, you know, I've at first assumed it was kind of like a shopping service,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we, you know, would say what we want and, you know, that's what is delivered. But then when I went in and looked and saw those actual packages, I was like, well, that's really impressive because it just kind of covers all the bases and takes the thinking out of it for me. You know, Sheila mentioned that, yeah, my wife and I became DVC owners last year, but we just started using our points this year. But we've been doing, you know, grocery delivery for years, mm-hmm. You know, going to Disney World because, you know, we live in West Virginia and, you know, if we fly, it's not practical for us to bring any groceries. And, you know, I don't like driving outside of the Disney bubble, you know, like to go grocery shopping myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking at the packages and, you know, you have the breakfast packages, you have lunch packages and dinner packages. And, you know, I was just like, you know, that just makes so much sense because it's like, you know, everything's right there. You know, I don't really have to, you know, try to figure out what I need for this or what I need for that. And I really liked that. And I was like, but one thing that my wife makes clear to me is, you know, when we're on vacation, she doesn't like to cook a lot. So, but we have, you know, talked that, you know, there would be situations in which we, you know, would be fine, you know, cooking a meal or something like that. So I was like, it'd be really neat if there were snack packages. So I just kept scrolling and there they were. It's like chips and goldfish and cheese and pop juice, popcorn, candy bars. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Thank you very much. That's cool. I'm glad you checked out my website and saw it. That's cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a Baby Yoda package. And it's been several years since we've been to Disney with the baby. We went in 2010 when our youngest daughter was one. And rather than, and we flew, rather than bring diapers and formula, we shipped it.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Yeah,
because that was before, you know, any grocery service was available that I'm aware of. So you have diapers and baby wipes and, you know, everything, even pacifiers, you know, everything that you might need. So I'm actually looking forward to using the service. One thing I told Sheila I wanted to ask you about, talk to you about, you know, we've used Amazon Now in the past. You know, typically it works fine. We have had issues where they, you know, didn't deliver some of our products or something like that. And here at home, we have Walmart Plus. And, you know, we use that for our grocery delivery all the time. You know, it's got our, you know, they've updated their system. So it's like, here, just click here and you'll get all the stuff that you order all the time, like, you know, our chicken, you know, nothing that we would take to Disney World.
Yeah.
But the problem I have had with the Walmart delivery at Disney World is most of the time the drivers that are delivering don't know anything about Disney World.
Yeah, you're right, they don't.
I mean, it just, you know, kind of took me by surprise when, you know, somebody called and they were trying to get to Pop Century, you know, what to do with the groceries. And I had to meet them out in the parking lot because they didn't understand the concept of taking it to Bell Services. And, you know, on our last trip, two or three weeks ago, I had somebody who didn't know where the boardwalk was because that's where we were staying. And I might be wrong, but I have a feeling that you know where all the resorts are and how to get there.
Just a little bit.
And that's another thing that it really makes me want to try your service is because I know, I mean, I say I know, but I know that I won't have any issues with my stuff getting to the resort.
Yeah, the only time that I usually have to look stuff up are like the off-property stuff. Like, I know all the Universal resorts, I know all the Disney resorts, you know, because I deliver there all the time, and I live here, and we go to those places, you know. But the only time is like an off-property, like, and it's usually like the resorts that are like tucked back way like at the end of a road, you know, that is kind of like an independent or not like right off I-4 that you can see from the road, you know. And I was at this really this one. It was beautiful, and it was like 10 minutes from our house. It was called The Grove, and it's on a road called Sidell. It's on a road called Sidell, like way on the other side of the toll road. But it's only like maybe 10 or 15 minutes from our house. And I walked in and said, this is to the girl. I actually had a gift to deliver. And I said to the girl, this is beautiful. I had no idea this was here. We live like 10 minutes down the street, you know. It was crazy. But all the Disney resorts, yeah, of course, I know where they all are. And one thing that I do that's a little bit different, and, you know, people have said, the Bell Services will sometimes make comments about it positively, is that, like, sometimes those, you know, Walmart or all the some of those other services, like, they just put it in their regular bags and they just drop it. Literally, they just drop it on the shelf. And I look at it, I'm like, I don't know how they know which thing goes to which person. But I actually pack all my stuff in boxes and all my cold items in cold bags, and they all get individually labeled. So, like, one of two, two of two, or one of six, two of six, three of six. And so there's no chance that your items are going to be mixed up or lost. I mean, I have had Bell Services give away, like, a whole thing of water to the wrong guests, and so I have to run a new one over. But like, as far as missing, like, something from the delivery, that doesn't usually happen. I actually have I count everything twice, or I check off everything twice on my list to make sure that I get everything. So I know that stuff is in there, and that the boxes keep it secure, and then the, you know, the cold bags too. But, like, yeah, sometimes, I mean, I walked up to Yacht Club once. It was either Yacht Club or Beach Club. And there must have been 25 bags sitting on the counter, on the Bell Services counter, and none of them were marked. I don't know how they knew where what was going, you know, what items were going to who, because none of it was marked. And the guy had just left.
Wow.
So, yeah. I try really hard not to do that. Like, everything is labeled. Every piece that I deliver is labeled, and because I don't want anything getting lost, you know. And I stamp my pages twice. You know, I have a stamp that says checked once, and then I go through it again, and I have a second stamp that says checked twice, just to make sure everything's in there, because I don't want to. Of course, I don't want to short anybody, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've been there a few times. Yeah, after I was told that my delivery's been done. And I go to Bell Services, and it's like they can't find anything because there's no names or labels or anything like that. But yeah, I really like that, where you not only label it with a name, but you indicate how many packages there are.
And I've had them, like, a couple times. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but when I first started, like, I have them call or I have the guest call me or text me saying they don't have our packages. And I, before I went there, because I've had to go there a couple of times and say, here it is, it's right here, see. I've called and I've said, you know, it's in a box, it's the only delivery that's going to be in a box. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, we see it, oh yeah the guest name is on it, you know. So that kind of helps me differentiates me, so that even if I can call them, I can tell them, hey, this is what it looks like, and they know immediately. And now, like I said, now it's not a problem because I think they know me, and so they know what my stuff looks like. And so then I haven't had that in probably 4 or 5 months. Nobody's called me and said we didn't get our stuff. So that's actually been a good thing.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I've checked out the tab for travel agents and stuff with the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought that was a really cute idea.
Thank you. That was it was so funny. That was like a one-off. Like, somebody at the very beginning, a travel agent contacted me and said, hey, are you going to be putting these all together for a gift that can be delivered for a client? Thank you. And I was like, oh, I don't know, that seems like a good idea. So I kind of did when I first launched, and I put the page up, and I basically said, like, I had a form. Okay, if you want something delivered, you know, please fill out this form, and I'll be happy to work on something with you. And I kind of gathered a few supplies, you know. And, like, that first day, like, I got so, it was literally the first day, I got so bombarded. I said, oh, this has to be a little bit more concrete, you know. Like, I can't just keep, you know, asking people to describe things, you know. So then I started doing those gifts that they seem to be really popular. And the travel agents, they like my price point, you know. It's not like too crazy, you know. And I mean, if you order from Disney, you're spending like at least $100, whereas mine are not nearly that expensive. So
yeah,
I think they like that. And and I've, you know, be able to really develop a relationship with some of them, and they order from me all the time, or they order from me last minute, and I say, oh, no problem, I have it in, I'll take care of it, you know. So it's been really good. I like that. I like doing them. It kind of helps me be creative, or let, you know, my creative side out a little bit by doing this. So
yeah, I mean, I think the gifts are super cute. My daughter is going at Thanksgiving by herself without her parents.
Ooh, and, well, that's exciting.
Yeah, she'll be 20 the week after that, you know, so she's in college. But yeah, you know, I was like, that'd be such a cute thing to send her a gift from us. You down there, so you know, she, I know she won't be homesick, or I mean, maybe she'll miss us, you know, because she's only been with us, but
yeah,
you know, it's a cute idea. And I have, I think, one or two more questions before I let Sheila have it back. You know, you mentioned the ways to shop. You have the packages, you know, convenient, cost effective, the list of individual items, which is, you know, kind of like, you know, you can order the things that are in your packages a la carte, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then send us your list. Now, is that something that you have a lot of people do? Or do most people opt for the packages?
When I first started, it was, they were almost all custom lists. Like, I was having hardly anybody order off the website. But I think now the time has gone on, and I've added more things, and I've kind of been learning what people order off the custom list a lot, and then I put it on the website. I think that it's kind of gone the other way. More people now are ordering from the website than submitting custom lists. So, from the packages, okay, or from the individual items, you know, like from, I mean, everything's through the website. I guess that's a bad way to say it, but like everything, okay, you know, all the orders are like everything that's listed. Most of the orders are now everything listed versus the whole, I mean, the custom list is not hard. I mean, I, you know, they submit it and I price it out and then I send them an invoice and then they pay and it's just a little more, or they say, okay, can you add this? Can you take this off? Or, oh, I forgot to add this. Can you add this? You know, and then, so it's kind of more of a back and forth, whereas the if you order, you select the items, or do you order a package, or you order a package and add some items, you know, you could do that too. You can mix them. If you do that, it's more of like a, you know, okay, it's done. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of one and done, you know, whereas with the custom list, it's kind of more of a back and forth between me and the guests. And it's not hard or difficult. It's just a little, it takes a little bit longer to get those done. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be scoping this up to see it, see what might work for us when we come down in October.
Cool, awesome.
Because I've mentioned I've used Amazon Now and Walmart Plus, and I've mentioned I've had so many problems with Walmart Plus, but you know, I really like the idea of my money helping a person.
Oh yeah, well thank you.
Yeah, rather than making the Walton family or Jeff Bezos richer, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, thank you very much.
So, I think that's all I had right now.
I just want to concur with Rick on the website. This is how people are going to get to know you. And you've done an excellent job on your website. It's very, like Rick said, easy to use, very makes you feel welcome and excited to be looking at, you know, the little packages that you've got. And yeah, I don't know if you did it yourself or if you had someone else do it, but it really is user-friendly for sure.
It's cool. I did it on myself.
Oh, you did that?
I mean, I just did it through Squarespace. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I don't have any programming experience or, you know what I mean? Like nothing like that. I just kind of laid it out like I would like to see, you know what I mean? And what would be easy for me. And I like it. I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. So I'm happy that people like it and find it easy to use. And I'm happy about that. That's really cool. So thank you very much.
Let's get away from the website a moment. We've heard that Rick has his snack packs and he's a happy little camper, you know, at Saratoga with his, you know, cheesy puffs or whatever he has. Now, someone like me, or I should say Steve,
Jello shots,
we're wanting some wine, alcohol, beverages. Mm-hmm. Now, Where are you at this time for being able to deliver that kind of product?
Well, I don't want to, first of all, of course, I want to be able to do it legally. And I don't want to just partner with somebody because then I can't control what, you know, I want to make sure that the guest is getting a good experience and that everything is fair and all that kind of stuff. So I have applied. I'm still waiting. I should be done soon. But I'm, of course, I'm waiting on the state. And, you know, the government doesn't exactly run, you know, work quickly sometimes. So I have applied. I'm just waiting for the response back. I got the response that, like, I needed to fix things. So I did. And I sent it back to them. And I'm just waiting on them. So, I mean, I'm hoping. Hopefully by the end of the year it'll happen. But I can't make any promises because it's not in my hands anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it is something I want to do. I'm pursuing that. It's just a matter of waiting on the paperwork because, of course, I don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize that. You know what I mean? So I haven't been delivering alcohol. I'm applying for beer and wine. The liquor part is it's just too expensive. And for that license, I mean, it's like $6,000 or something like that. So
that's
not something. Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm not like looking to do that, but the beer and wine is, and I think that's what most people want anyway. So that's what I'm going to try to offer, at least to start. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, I am working on it. I don't have a date yet because I don't know. Once I get that license, I can set a date and I can start. And in fact, I kind of already have an idea of how I'm going to work it with like looking at ID, you know, getting IDs and all that kind of stuff. So that part I have kind of already worked out. I'm just waiting on the license.
Right. And you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I think most people, if they can't get the alcohol, a beer and a wine is just as good when you're at Disney.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you how much a license for beer and wine?
Like 300 something. But the other, maybe it wasn't 6,000. Maybe it was 3,000. But it was like way more than I could possibly spend on a license. But the beer and wine was really good. You know, it was like right where it was fine to spend that money. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't have the money to spend $3,000 on a liquor license. And I don't even know if I would, how much hard liquor I would sell. You know, would it even be worth it? You know, whereas at least if I try the beer and wine, I know what that, you know, I can at least see what that's going to be like. You know what I mean? And then maybe go from there. But I don't know.
Well, it's so funny because there's another Facebook group I follow. I can't think of the name of it. It's something like something homes for whatever. But I mean, basically what it is people that's leaving Disney. They got leftover food and they post it. I can't remember the name of it, Scott, but they post it and then you get a picture of, you know, what they've left.
The free cycle groups.
Yeah, but some of the stuff is amazing. But most of the times, all I'm seeing there is the beer and the wine. So, yeah.
And that's when Sheila hops in the car and drives to Florida.
Well, if I wasn't flying, I'd be doing that on my trip in October. So there you go, Rick. All right, a couple of more quick questions. One of them is, how do you deal with Orlando traffic?
I don't know. It doesn't bother. Well, because we're really on the other side of Orlando. And when we literally live a mile from the back of the Magic Kingdom. Like I can see the fireworks from our balcony upstairs. So like, as far as getting to Disney World, I go on all the back roads. I don't even see I-4. And when I go down to Universal, that's the same way. I could take I-4 from here if I have to deliver you to Universal, but we always take the bad roads, like, or back roads. Like I can take Turkey Lake all the way over there. Like I can take from our house, I can go on a back road to Turkey Lake, which goes right next to I-4. So I don't have to deal with that. I guess I'm just lucky enough that I never have to drive on it when it's, you know, super busy. Cause you know, I mean, we take I-4 to see my in-laws every week, but that's usually on a Saturday night. So it's not empty, but it's not, you know, busy. And really the bad traffic is like on the other side of Disney World. Like it's kind of me, Disney World, and then Universal, and then like that Millennia area, and then town, and really on from town over like to Altamont Springs. That's really the bad air, the bad traffic times. You know, our around our area is not too bad, so it doesn't really bother me.
Okay, now we're going to talk about delivery times, cutoff points, and things like that. But first of all, when you were talking to Rick, you made some comment about delivering to other places. So this isn't just Disney World that you deliver to. Do you deliver to private homes? You know, the...
I mean, I deliver, I've had people at like vacation homes. I deliver to vacation homes before. That's not a problem at all. If I, as long as I can find it and they give me like, if it's like a gated community, they give me the code. You know, I've had no problem getting in and delivering. I don't do a lot of those. It's mostly the resorts. It's mostly Disney. I mean, that's really where I mostly get orders for is Disney. But yeah, I'll deliver. I'll deliver anywhere, like anywhere. I've had people ask me to deliver to Vero Beach. It's like a 2.5 hour drive from here. I can't, you know, like I'm going to spend more money getting there than I am going to make from, you know, from the actual delivery. So I can't do that. But within this area, I mean, I'm willing to go to Kissimmee or, you know, down to Universal. I'll deliver anywhere. I'm pretty flexible.
Right. Now, walk us through a typical day then for you. What time do you start in the morning?
It kind of depends on the day. I usually start about 9 o'clock. I take my kids to school. So once I drop them off, I start and I usually come home from there and I pack. I usually shop the day before I deliver. That's what I like to do because then I have it all and it's all here and, you know, I'm not running to the store to get anything. So that's typically what I do. My slots are like, you can go on my website and you can actually book an appointment and they go from 9 to 5. Well, 4 o'clock is my last appointment and it ends at 5. So, but I don't usually go by those. I usually go by the arrival time. So if the guest in their order, the guests can't, like, one of the questions is what time will you arrive? Well, if they arrive at 3 o'clock, I'm regardless of when, let's say they arrive at 2 o'clock and their appointment is at 4. I usually try to get it there by 2 o'clock, depending on what's going on that day, you know, but, I usually will get up and I pack everything and then I go deliver. I will usually do my gifts at the same time if I have to create any gifts. And I do like one big delivery for anybody that I have to deliver for. And then I come home and I'll go shopping and I'll shop for the next day and bring it home. And if it's too big, like if I don't have enough room to store everything, then I'll usually buy the stuff that doesn't need to be refrigerated. And then I will go the next morning early in the morning and even before the kids go to school and get like my milk and that kind of stuff so that I have room in the refrigerator for it. And so every day is different. It kind of depends on how many deliveries I have. You know what I mean?
Now, prior to starting your business, would you say you were a shopper? I mean, Steve loves shopping. I hate it. Hate it, hate it. But Steve will go shopping and just have fun.
Oh, yeah. I love to grocery shop. It was always my job in our house. You know, my wife doesn't like to, she never liked to grocery shop. And so, not that she didn't like it, but it just wasn't one of her favorite things to do. But I, like, love it. I love going and seeing all the new stuff. And, like, I do. I love it. I really love it.
All right. Yeah, Sheila took my question because I was looking at your calendar. you know, it looks like you deliver Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, based on what I can see.
Yeah, Sunday I take off to be with my family. You know, like we always do something on Sundays. And Wednesday, that was the day, you know, when I first started, I was like, every day I had every day open and then I learned it. I can't live like that. You know what I mean? Like I have to have some time to like do different things, you know? So I blocked off Sunday and then I also blocked off Wednesday. Cause that was really the day that, I mean, there are times when people will reach out to me and say, hey, I'm arriving on Wednesday. But to be honest, it's not a big arrival day. And I was hardly getting any deliveries. So I figured, you know, and plus here in Florida, it's early day, or in Orange County, it's early day from school. So my kids get off at two, like an hour earlier than they typically do. And I needed a day to like work on my books and have meetings, you know, have calls mm-hmm. with my accountant. And so that's the day that I kind of blocked off. But if somebody reaches out and says, oh, hey, we're arriving this day or that day, and it's a Wednesday or Sunday, I'll usually be like, well, let me see what I could do. You know, I could probably work it out. It's in the last couple of months, I've been dropping off groceries since I started this. I've been telling guests that my guests that either come in on a Wednesday or a Sunday, that if you book the last appointment, I'll know to drop off your groceries as late as possible. And I haven't had any problems with Bell Services holding them just until the next day, until they get, you know, get here. Like, I wouldn't drop groceries off like 5 days early, but like, the evening before for the next day, I haven't had a problem yet. So, and it's been working out really well. So mm-hmm. I'll do that. Or I'll say, you know, say, hey, you know, I'll get up like super early on Sunday and I'll take it over. As long as you're good with me dropping it off early, then, you know, I try to work with whenever they ask, I try to work with them, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, I know for me personally, yeah, you know, I'd be fine getting it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people do that too. Yeah.
You know, that's not really an issue, but, you know, I just like the way it's set up. You know, it's real easy just to pick a time. You know, you said like you base your deliveries more on when the guest arrives,
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that, you know, there's been times where you've had multiple deliveries to the same resort. Do you find that it's more DVC people that are doing it, or is it really just, you know, any Disney guest?
I think I have a mix of both. It hasn't been like very heavy one way or the other. I get a lot of I have a lot of deliveries to Pop Century and Art of Animation, so I think they're probably my most popular. But when you think about it, they're the resort with the most rooms. You know what I mean? So it's open right now. You know, so and I All Star Movies, since they're open now, I've been doing a little, since they've opened, I've been doing a lot there too. But you know, it's very interesting. I get more, probably I have more deliveries to Pop Century and Art of Animation, but I have fewer but they're smaller deliveries. Whereas when I get one for DVC, it's like eight boxes, or, you know what I mean, or eight pieces, you know. It's like a ton of stuff, which makes sense because they have the kitchens and the, mm-hmm. you know, and the place to prepare food. Whereas when I deliver to Art of Animation and Pop Century, it's usually like snacks and milk and, you know, 12 packs of Coke and, you know, so
the things they don't have to cook.
Right. Yeah. So even though I do more to Pop Century, it's interesting because the DVC resorts, they're like bigger orders, you know, they're more stuff, you know, so it's interesting the way it works out.
Yeah. And it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that the people at the kitchens would be the ones that order the like meatloaf and chicken.
Yeah.
Rather than somebody at Pop Century.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Scott, do you, the packages, the gift packages, now do you make those up yourself, or, you know, have you incorporated your wife helping you, or?
No, the packages I make myself. Usually, my wife, she is actually a cast member. She works with the member services. She does their training. So she helps with their training. She's a training facilitator. And so she's like, so especially now, you know, they're hiring a lot. So she's been working. But before they got really busy and she was off for a couple of days, and even before she was called back, she would help me pack everything, but not really anymore because she's so busy. So lately I've been doing everything. And I always do the, I'd always do the gifts. I came up with the original designs. Every once in a while, she'll be like, "Oh, how about you do a basket of this?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's a great idea." And then I, you know, make a basket with whatever her idea was. But I make them up. I make everyone up, and people seem to love them. So I'm very happy about that.
And I think that's another thing about your website. You know, you can go and see these, you know, the gift sets and. Yeah, really, really impressed. Actually, talking about your wife, did you meet your wife while at Disney then?
Yeah, we actually both worked at Port Orleans front desk when we were both at, well, she's still hourly, but when I was hourly before I was a leader, we met at the front desk and we worked together, and then we started dating, and 16 years later, here we are.
And how many kids later?
We have two boys. We have a 14-year-old who's really a teenager and very much a teenager. And we have our younger son is 8 years old.
Oh, cool. Now, do you still get time on those Sundays to get into the parks with the kids?
Yeah, every once in a while. They just started announcing annual passes. So, of course, we don't have any tickets yet. But my wife's, main gate pass, when they open it up, yeah, we've been able to go. And it's actually a couple weeks ago we went to the Magic Kingdom. So that was fun because, you know, especially lately, we haven't been able to go. With the attendance that was so restricted, you couldn't get in with your pass. So it's been a long time since we were able to go. So it was really neat to be able to go and, you know, just kind of be there and enjoy it. And it was really nice. We had a really great time. And we got to see Happily Ever After, which I'm so sad this is going away.
Talk about sadness just for a very quick moment. Let's go back to your last day working at Disney, knowing that, you know, people all around you were also getting laid off. Did you think that day when you left the park that you would be here today running your own business?
Actually, no. The day I left was, I had Friday, Saturday off. And so the day I left was Thursday and they called me on Friday. So we were learning about people that were being let go. And one of my peers that was our custodial leader, he was let go and he came and he was actually let go at work. So he came down, like the offices are like below the resort. And so he came down and he said his goodbye and we all gave him hugs. And it was really sad. And then kind of everybody didn't really know what was going on or what was going to happen, you know. And then the next day, it was actually really funny. My wife and I so she was still furloughed and the kids were in school by now because it was October. And so we said, oh, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. So my phone rang and I didn't want to answer it. And so then I finally called back when we went home. And then that's when, you know, when we got home and that's when the general manager called and she said, you know, we have to let you go. And then they put you on with HR and, you know, and then they tell you, oh, we're going to send you a letter and all that kind of stuff. So I was off Friday, Saturday, and then, you know, I would have gone back Sunday, but they, you know, of course I was laid off and so I didn't go back, but, no, I never would imagine that, I'd be here. And they've called me back actually, like twice they called me, but you know, I put time and money and effort and I have kind of have a following now. And, you know, I have loyal customers that are coming back to me and I don't know if I want to go back. Cause this is pretty cool. You know what I mean? This is a lot of fun and, you know, and I'm doing pretty well and, you know, I'm growing every day and learning so much. And I you know, as of right now, this is great. You know, I'm good. You know what I mean?
I also think though, Scott, you know, with what you've chosen to do, you must still feel that you're still doing that service to Disney Resort guests. So you're still getting that kind of magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's more of a one-on-one, which I like. You know, they reach out to me and they ask me questions about, you know, their delivery or what can I get them. And, you know, and it's pretty cool. And, you know, and like, it's so neat when somebody, especially the gifts, like whenever I deliver a gift and the I always post it for the travel agents. I always post, we post them online now. So we take, we on our social media. So I take a picture before I deliver everything. And then we usually will tag. We don't really do this for like personal gifts, because that's, you know, I don't want to invade anybody's privacy or anything like that. But for the travel agents, they like it because it gives them, you know, some exposure. So I, we always take a picture and I post it. And then sometimes the guests will actually like see that post from their travel agent, and you know, they'll say, oh, my kids loved it, or, oh, it was so wonderful, or, you know, and it's so, it always feels so good to be able to, you know that, hey, I did that, you know what I mean? I made that magic for those guests. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
Well, one of our co-hosts, Michelle, she is a travel agent, and I need to pass information to you to pass to her, because we're going down in October, and you know, maybe I can just sort of pencil in which gift that, you know, she can leave in our room for us.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, wow, you know, to being basically laid off, to sort of like starting your own business, you should be so proud of yourself, actually.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you very much.
Could you be persuaded to do like a gag gift for somebody that's going to Disney World soon?
Oh, Vic.
I don't know. Like maybe a fake rat or...
Are you thinking Bill? Or no, Snake? We don't say the name. Oh, don't you dare do snakes. No, 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 sir. No.
Wow.
There could be a good tip in it for you.
I'll double the tip. You won't ever have to work again, Scott, believe me.
Too much.
Let's say you get this, you know, fussy Brit person that, you know, comes to Orlando, but they want their Tetley tea bags and Walmart doesn't sell it. Would you go to any specialty stores to get somebody to deliver us?
Oh, yeah, I go. I basically go anywhere that I can get to here. You know, I mean, I'm not going to drive to like Georgia for a certain store, but like, if it's in the area, like I don't mind getting it. And if I have enough notice, if I can't get it here and it's something that I can get on Amazon, I usually buy it off of Amazon. Even if I have to buy it in bulk, because I usually use it, you know, I usually sell it to somebody else, I'll buy it. That's kind of a last resort because sometimes it doesn't come quick enough. But like I've gone to like, you know, we of course have Publix. Publix is pretty much my main, first of all, they're a great store. I love shopping there. And they have everything, you know, Walmart. You know, Walmart is great for families. I like to shop at Walmart when I do our shopping, but I don't know if it's just here or if it's like this. They just don't stock enough. There's just not enough on the shelves, you know?
Yeah.
You have to get like, you know, milk. I can get there. Milk, I like to get there because Publix milk is so expensive and I don't like to charge that high of a price for my stuff, so sometimes I price it lower on the website and sometimes I'll pick them up there. But other than that, like, I mean, you go for cookies or if you go and you walk in a cereal, you walk in and there's nothing on the shelf, you know. And so I don't really shop there, but I do shop at Publix because I also have like four within really close to me, so if one doesn't have it, I can always go to the other one and I know they're going to have it, you know, if I need it. Like my goal is to get what's on that list. If a guest orders it, then I want to make sure that I have either it or as close to it as I can possibly get. I've also had guests ask me to shop at like Whole Foods. We have Whole Foods, which is, I mean, it's usually what the guest needs. It's just super expensive. And if the guest is fine paying that, I'm good with it. I'll be happy to go buy it there. But we also have a store called Sprouts. I've gone to a local health food store called Chamberlain's. It's just a local chain that I think only has two or three. I've gone there for items. We also have like BJ's and Costco, so I can go there if it's something that, you know, I've had guests actually order things in bulk. You know, they want like a box of 32 bags of chips. I mean, I could provide that from what I buy. I can also run down to, you know, BJ's and get it. So, I mean, I'm willing to go anywhere as long as it's, you know, within reason, you know what I mean? But I mean, I'll work to find whatever you need.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I was asking that is, let's say, you know, I need something from the pharmacy, you know, I need painkillers, let's say. So is this something I could call you up in the morning and, oh, I get this weird look from my husband's painkillers? Living with him.
He's not a drug dealer.
No, I know he's not a drug dealer.
Jeez.
Band-aids then.
Okay. I had a guest ask me to go get a prescription before. And she called, she had the doctor call it into CVS, and she put that I was going to pick it up. And it was for her daughter, her son or daughter, I think. And she was at the studios. And so I had to drive over to the Disney Hollywood studios and drop it off. I couldn't get in because, you know, it was, everything was blocked out. But she said, can you bring it to me here? And I said, yeah, but I have to meet you outside. I can't go in. So it worked out really well. She called it in and I went and got it. And then we met at the front. She got her medicine for her daughter and I was able to help her out. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, I have done that. As long as everything, I mean, I'm not a pharmacy. You know what I mean? As long as they work everything out with their doctor and where I'm picking it up, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. And the reason why I'm asking that, and maybe I gave a poor example, is there's been times on Facebook I've seen mums with sick kids.
Yeah.
And they want, you know, Dramamine. I say gravel.
Tylenol.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
There's actually and this is what I suggested to this guest that I helped out, just to make it easier on her. And I mean, I don't gain anything from this, but it's what exists. Is it's in Celebration. It's a pharmacy. It's called Turner Drugs. So if anybody does need something, I would probably direct them there first because they're actually a pharmacy. So and on top of that, they're used to this situation. You know, that's their business. they're not a drugstore where I could go into, like, because I need a pharmacy. They're, you know, we have CVS and Walgreens and we have all those here. But like, this is a Turner Drugs is actually a pharmacy that exists because of the tourist industry here. So but there was some reason why when I did this for this guest, there was some reason why they couldn't do it. And so she ended up having to call it to a CVS and I went and picked it up for her. But yeah, we actually have a pharmacy here locally that caters to the tourist area.
That's really good information, Scott. And thanks for sharing that, actually.
No problem.
And I just want to apologize to the English community for calling them fussy for wanting Tetley tea bags. Yes, I was talking about myself. So
I was going to say, I don't think anybody would take it any other way.
Rick, do you have anything else you would like to ask?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered all of it.
I think we have. But Scott, is there anything that you feel that we should have asked?
Oh, I do have one more question. Scott, I know that you mentioned that you're working on your beer and wine license so you can work on delivering that and that you have updated your packages. You do that occasionally to reflect things that people may buy or, trending, I guess you could say, you know, if you see something trending, you may update a package. Is there anything else new that you have coming down the pike that you could share with us?
Actually, yeah, yes. I'm going to be introducing some Halloween gifts, which are going to be really, really cool. I have some cool new designs with Mickey and I even have ones for guests that are staying at Universal, more geared towards like Halloween Horror Nights. And so I'm hopefully by like the first week of September, they're going to be out and ready to order. So, and I'm super excited about those because I'm hoping that the guests will really like them. I think they're going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think they will. Yeah, I was looking, you have personalized gifts as well. You know, like tumblers with names on it.
Yeah.
A power bank, which, you know, could be very handy for somebody that's traveling that may have, you know, forgot what they wanted to bring.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have availability on your website, I'm assuming that, they could add something like that on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're doing Halloween. Does that mean you're going to hopefully be doing this seasonally for, you know, Christmas, Easter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Last year, I took them all down because after Christmas. But, like, last year, I mean, I think it's going to be more this year. But last year for Christmas, I did offer different Christmas gifts. And or not Christmas gifts, but Christmas-themed gifts. And they were really cool. Like, I had one with, like, it came in a bucket. And the bucket said, like, let it snow or something like that. It was really, really great. So I'm looking forward to creating all new stuff for this year. And the Halloween stuff, I'm really excited. I can't wait to put them on the website. They're going to be very cool. Pictures. I have like this big like cube thing that I take all the pictures in to make a nice background and stuff. So hopefully the next couple of days I'm going to set that up, take the pictures, and then I can post them all on the website.
And maybe you, once it's on your website, maybe you could share it with us and we can, when we put your episode out, include that as one of the pictures.
That would be cool to show it.
I forgot where I was here. Okay, I'm gonna ask the same question that I asked before. So Rick, do you have anything else, or do you think we've covered everything?
I think we pretty much covered everything about that. You know, if you have a couple Disney questions that you like to ask, I think that might be
just to wind it up. Yeah, I think we've got, have you got five more minutes, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a choice, Scott, with us? But before we move to the fun five questions that Rick and I will off the cuff ask you, is there anything that you feel that we didn't ask you that you would have liked to have given an answer to?
No, I don't think so. I think you guys did good in asking me all kinds of questions about my business and history and all that kind of stuff. No, I think you guys did a great job.
Okay, great. So usually with our first time guests, so if you do come back on again, Scott, you will not have to go through this painful experience, okay?
Okay.
It's just five quick questions, and it's just showing your Disney side. So gonna keep it simple because it's getting late here. What's your favorite Disney park?
Magic Kingdom, because I just love Magic. I love the classic. Actually, no, that's not. Probably my favorite Disney park is Disneyland. I know it's not here, but I just love Disneyland. I just love it. I love the quaintness of it. I love how cute it is. I love all the attractions that we don't have here. I just love Disneyland. It's the best. And my favorite park here is Magic Kingdom, because it's the original. You know, it's like, it's where I made memories with my family, and it's my favorite park here. But my favorite park is Disneyland. My wife and I went on our honeymoon in Disneyland, so that's definitely a special place for us.
I'll tell you, that's my favorite park, and that was a really good answer, Scott. Rick, I don't know if you got any questions. I've got more, but if you got a question, let's go with one of yours.
Who's your favorite character?
Sorcerer Mickey. I love Sorcerer Mickey, and I collect as much as I can with him on it. I just think he's so cool.
That's a good one.
Okay, Scott, what's your favorite Disney restaurant?
Oh boy, there's so many. Probably the Blue Bayou is the number one at Disneyland and Pirates of the Caribbean. We've had some really great meals there. Here in Disney World, probably Sci-Fi. I love the Sci-Fi, and I love taking my boys there because they love it so much. And it's just so neat and so unique. You know, it's not like any other restaurant anywhere in the world. There's not like a restaurant like that. That's probably my favorite.
Okay, Rick? I love doing this to you, Rick.
Well, I was thinking the question, you know, if you were a Disney cast member, what job would you like? That's not really a relevant question.
Reverse it. Which one wouldn't he want?
Yeah, how about that? Oh, is there a job a really hard question. You would not want to do?
CEO at this moment.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a really good question. You really stumped me. I don't know what I wouldn't want to do. All right, the number one I wouldn't want to do. Although I like what they do and I like to watch them, I don't know if I would like to be a parade performer, because I'm not the kind of person that likes to do stuff like that in front of people. Like, you know, I don't know how exposed to housekeeping you guys are, but like, housekeepers, like, they love to dance. They love to dance and they love to embarrass you. And like, that was like always like the most awful week of my life was housekeeping week, because my worst week of the whole year, because they always, like, for housekeeping, every resort like would do a big celebration, and one day there would always be a dance, and I don't dance, but I certainly don't like to dance in front of a whole group of housekeepers that are yelling and screaming at me, you know what I mean? And so even though I love to watch them and I like love the parades and the shows and stuff, being one of those performers is just not something I would do. It just isn't.
that's a brilliant answer. It's the best one I think I've ever heard. I'd just be scared of falling down and everybody laughing at me, actually. Yeah. So do you have a last one, Rick?
No. You can be last. I can do one. That was mine.
Oh, I apologize. Okay, so your last question for me. I'm going to make it nice and easy. What's your, actually, it's a two-part. Most favorite ride, least favorite ride?
My most favorite ride is Haunted Mansion. I love the Haunted Mansion. I always have. Even when I was a kid, I just loved it. And my least favorite ride, oh boy, that's a question. That's a good question, because that's not something you think about all the time. Probably, oh boy, oh, that's a good question. I'm not a huge fan anymore of Mission Space, like the orange one. I really, really like the green one. And actually, I think like the show in the green one is so much better than the orange one is. And I really miss the fact that it's not Gary Sinise anymore. I really like that. And that's kind of the one that I don't want to say grow up riding, because I was obviously an adult when that opened. But like, that's the one that like my wife and I rode together like during previews. And, you know, so yeah, probably Mission Space, the orange one, because I don't know, it just seems to be so much more intense than it is now than it was when I was younger.
But they say as you get older, those sort of rides affect you more.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rick, I think we should ask Scott the most important question of the night. So where can we find you then, Scott?
Well, you can go to my website at magicalvacationgrocers.com, or you can search for me, Magical Vacation Grocers, on Facebook and on Instagram. And, you know, and if you have a question, please reach out. I have a chat function both on the website, and you can contact me through Messenger on through Facebook or Instagram. And, yeah, just through my website. And then all my contact information is on my website. So if you want to email us or call me, that's on there too.
Great. And Rick is really good about this. He will make sure all those links will get into the show notes when the episode goes out.
Thank you very much.
Scott, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. Rick, it's always a pleasure co-hosting with you. It really is.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't feeling it at the end when you guys were blaming me for things.
You should be used to that by now, Rick. Come on.
I know, right?
Yeah. Anyway, anyone looking for us, just go to monorailtales.com. You'll find all our social links there. Come over to Facebook. We'd love to see you there in our group. And if you want to be a show guest or have an idea for a show, just email me, Sheila@monorailtales.com, and I will get back to you. In closing, I just want to say, take a moment and check out
Ear for Each Other.
There's still a lot of cast members that are still waiting to be called back by Disney. And if we can help them in some small way for the magic they have brought to us while working as cast members, well, I just think that would be great. So anyway, thank you once again, listeners, for tuning in to us and staying with us to the end. So until next time, take care. So time to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Scott. Thanks again. Goodbye. You did great.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Stars glow for you. Go see the world, 'cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, 'cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got to go.
Thank you!